Chapter 5. It was Sunday night when Tia discovered the note on her bed. It was simply folded and dabbed with red wax, no seal impressed on it. Tia flared her eyes to Parul, saw nothing suspicious, and picked up the note. Report to Cowardice 27. Now. No signature. Cowardice was the nickname of the sixth floor on the dark side of the Red Tower, not just the apparition strangling Tia. Here was the problem with serving two masters who demanded total discretion. Tia had no idea whether Karis or Murder Sharp had left this message. She hoped it was Karis. She had so much to report, it was ridiculous. She also hadn't slept for 2 days, and she wasn't at her best. Sleep deprivation led inexorably to bad decisions. If this note was from the Order, she couldn't afford any bad decisions. The more immediate problem was what Tia should do with the master cloak, but what could she do with it now? Leave it in the trunk at the foot of her bunk? A treasure worth empires hanging quietly on a hook from her bedpost? She could disguise it, sure, but as what? What if the laundresses came through and grabbed it? What if laundering destroyed the magic in it? Trainer Fisk had once badly translated an old Parian proverb for his classes. A sword unneeded can be laid, but a sword needed can't be made. Once they deciphered what it actually meant, all the young blackguards took the message to heart. They carried two pistols or more. They carried backup blades and hidden blades. During the entire fight to get out of the Chromeria, Tia had kept thinking of her rope spear. She'd left it in the practice room. It was still down there. She'd made do with Parul and swords and her dagger and a blunderbuss. Orholm have mercy on her soul, that blunderbuss. How many of those light guards whom she raked with a blunderbuss at the lift had died? She'd killed men. Perhaps more worryingly, she didn't feel bad about it. But fuck them. They'd been trying to kill her friends. She looked at the cloak, still undecided. She really didn't know much of how it worked. The blackguard had taught her that you don't take a weapon you're unfamiliar with into battle. She glanced around. No one. She closed her eyes and pictured a flamboyant Arbornean musketeer's cloak. Looked down. Leagues of brocade and a starry sky's worth of gold medallions on blue velour, pointed shoulder pads in burnished silver and a starched collar. She touched it, expecting her fingers to pass through the illusion. It was all solid. Real. It couldn't be. It must be an insanely powerful hex, tricking not just her eyes, but her mind. Tia closed her eyes tight, waited a few breaths, and touched the cloak again, locking in her mind her certainty that the illusion would be gone. It was solid. Real. The master cloak didn't fuck around. It was too dangerous to take it until she figured out how to control it. She concentrated again, and the cloak went the flat, solid grey of a blackguard nunk's cloak, colour muted with use and too short for any of the other nunks to borrow. She hung it on the hook at the end of her bunk with a quick prayer, grabbed her actual nunk's cloak and left. The trip to the Red Tower was a quick walk across the elevated bridges that hung in the air between the Prism's Tower and the six other towers, without external supports, glimmering like a spiderweb bedecked with dew. Tia jogged up the slave's stair to Cowardice and Courage, went to the dark side of the tower and found room 27. She knocked. No one answered. Room 27 was on the outer curve of the dark side of the tower. Tia looked down the bending hallways each way, wondering if she'd caught a glimpse of a slave leaving down the shadowy hall. Best not to be seen at all. Unless that was her contact. He wouldn't appreciate being accosted in the open if he was, so she tried the latch instead. Unlocked. Took one breath, drew in Parul, and went in. She was struck in the face by a beam of light, blinding her after the relative darkness of Cowardice. The light was streaming from the light well. The communal reserve of pure sunlight shot down the middle of each tower from the many mirrors atop them.
"Lock the door," a voice said.
It sounded slightly off, and Tia knew immediately that it was being altered. Karis had a collar that did that, but Karis wouldn't be concealing her identity from Tia now. That meant Tia was meeting one of the Order's goons. Oddly, the realization calmed her. At least she knew what she was up against. She locked the door.
"You mind?"
she asked, squinting. The room was dark other than that single beam of light, and the door behind her was draped in black cloth so as to absorb the light so it wouldn't bounce around the room and illuminate it.
"Light blinds,"
a figure seated in the depths of the room said. Tia held up a hand against the beam.
"Which is why I tend not to stare straight into it," she said. "Who are you? I've got a lot to do. I'm not in the mood to play children's games."
With a clatter, the shutter shut, and the room was plunged into darkness. She drafted a paddle torch, immediately flaring her eyes.
"None of that,"
she froze.
None of what?
It could have been a guess. There was a reptilian silence. Tia felt the stirrings of fear deep in his lair, twisting in her stomach like an old dragon in unquiet slumber.
"Diocoptes was a lens maker, you know,"
the voice said. When the order spoke, it was as if it had another language. Diocoptes. Tia still had to mentally translate it to Lucidonius. To the Chromeria, he'd been the one who enlightened them when they were imprisoned in the darkness of paganism. To the Order, he was the great betrayer, the one who'd broken them.
"So I've heard," Tia said.
Kip's father Gavin had given him some lenses, supposedly crafted by Lucidonius himself, the most valuable among them sub-red and superviolet lenses that allowed any drafter to see in their respective spectra. Whether they were actually Lucidonius's work or some other genius's, those lenses had never been duplicated. But that dragon thrashed now, fully awake.
"You've got paddle lenses?" Tia asked.
She couldn't believe it.
"Not stupid. Good. I require a certain bare minimum intelligence even of my shadows, though your own master dances close to that flame."
Of the few who knew of him, no one spoke of Murder Sharp so dismissively. None would dare, except... Tia dropped to her knees.
"Master, my lord."
It came easily to her obeisance, prostration, so many years a slave. But it was right to be afraid. This was the old man of the desert himself. He didn't move, didn't speak for a long time. Tia flared her eyes to sub-red sensitivity, but he was nothing more than a warm smudge in the darkness, likely swaddled in many layers, his face so dark that he must be wearing thicker layers over it in case she used paddle and he missed it.
"My lord?"
Tia asked finally.
"None may wear cloaks in my presence. Put yours on the hook by the door."
She removed her cloak and stood slowly, certain that he had a cocked musket pointed at her. She groped around until she found the hook and hung her cloak on it. "Right choice. I made the right choice for once, leaving my cloak back in the room."
"Pull the hook down," he said quietly.
She pulled the hook and a mechanism snapped around the cloak with a click, securing it in place. So the old man of the desert was paranoid about his shadows and their cloaks, even when he knew, or thought he did, exactly which cloaks they had. It was, Tia guessed, perhaps the only way to become an old man when one ran a network of assassins. A light bloomed in the room, cool blue. It wasn't for her benefit. She wondered if it meant he was a blue drafter, or he merely wanted to be able to see the expressions on her face as he spoke to her. The altered voice emerged again from his swaddling robes.
"You were seen getting individual training with Caris White Oak some time ago."
Tia's throat tightened.
"Yes, my lord. The archers tried to take care of each other."
"She took a special interest in you."
Tia couldn't tell if it was a question, couldn't tell if there were suspicions hidden in that statement.
"She seemed to like me. We trained together a couple of times."
"Everything you've done tells me I should trust you, Adrastia."
"And yet..."
She said nothing.
"A crisis is simply opportunity wearing danger's cloak. On the other hand, you know what they say about old warriors and bold warriors."
"Ah."
She didn't.
"Ah, that's right. A slave. Not a stupid, but not educated either. No matter. I'll test your loyalty as we go. The perennial problem of a secret order, is it not? The danger of infiltration. You have risen so fast, and your gifts make you so useful it's hard not to put you to work. It could be a purposeful temptation."
Heart pounding, Tia waited again. She turned her palms out, helpless, but didn't say anything. There were lines here, and crossing any of them might get her killed. On the other hand, she couldn't seem too self-controlled, too patient, too formidable. Finally, she threw her hands up in the air. She was playing the angry girl who would lash out at anyone. Might as well play her to the hilt. "I can't do—" But he interjected immediately, as if to spare both of them the consequences of what she might say. "I have an assignment for you. The New White is isolated, surrounded by enemies, with all her most trusted friends fled or dead. Get close to her."
"Close? I'm in the Blackguard. As soon as I take final vows, I'll be near her all the time."
"I want you to be more than that. She'll need a confidant. Become that."
It was the best news Tyr could have heard, but she sagged.
I'm a nunc. She's the White.
She was herself taken under Aurea Palor's wing in just this way. Fit the mold. Make her feel she's doing good by taking you in. That's your order."
"Yes, my lord," she said, as if she felt it far beyond her capabilities.
"Adrastia? You admire her, don't you? Like her, even?"
Tyr swallowed. To lie or not to lie?
"I do, my lord."
"Never forget."
"Forget?" Tyr asked. Playing a little stupid had never hurt.
"You may be called on to kill her and die doing it."
Tyr prostrated herself.
"Yes, my lord."
"Do you have doubts?"
She nodded, still gazing at the floor.
"Good. Honest. I would have thought it strange if you didn't. Adrastia, your work is so secret that it will be hard for you to learn the wisdom of the Crimson Path. But I can tell you this. You will matter. For the Chromeria, you're an exalted slave. For us, you will change the world and leave it better for your sacrifices."
"Yes, my lord."
"You worry about Kip?" he asked.
"He said once that the Order tried to kill him. A Mistress Hillel?"
"Indeed. She was one of ours. For who expects a fat, middle-aged woman to be an assassin? Not a shadow, though."
He was in my squad, and he was my owner, my lord. I hated being a slave. I hated being his slave, but he was kind to me. Didn't rape me."
Tyr had to acknowledge her closeness to Kip. Bring part of a secret to light unbidden, and you might be mistaken for honest.
"Listen to yourself," the old man said. "He didn't rape you. Thus he's kind. Don't you see how diseased that is? Their entire system of governance, religion, society. It leads to you saying a man is kind because he didn't rape you."
Tyr hesitated. That does seem wrong. But you won't ask me to kill him, will you, sir? Can I ask that of you?"
"Oh, no, child. That will never happen. Kip is not our enemy. Early on, we thought him insignificant, and his elimination a perfect way to get closer to Andros Guile, who wanted an inconvenient bastard removed. It was a mistake. We have learned since then. I swear this to you, Adrastia. You will never have to act against Kip."
The old man of the desert was very good. He was very, very good. So maybe it was the voice modulator. Maybe it was that Tyr had spent some time around the very best. But whatever it was, Tyr could tell he was lying. Some tiny flutter in his voice, some pause a fraction shortened as if he'd practiced beforehand, the stilted lack of contractions. For some reason until now this had been simply an assignment, now a sudden spark of outrage caught in her soul. "You tell me I'm not a slave, but you treat me like a moron? How stupid do you think I am?" The old man must be accustomed to dealing with idiots. He thought he would draw Tyr slowly into his circle until she would do anything for him. Oh, look, a little girl, a former slave, small and stupid. When it comes to deceiving her, I don't even need to try. It was as if, as she burst from her chrysalis, nothing but that old lie, "I am a slave," the old man was stomping on her before her wings could spread.
"You are young, and you know little of our faith yet. It is natural to have questions,"
the old man said, supremely confident.
Oh, fuck you.
This little girl is going to tear you apart, old man. You have just become my mission in life. What had Kip said? Diakoptes didn't mean breaker, exactly. It was more like the one who rends asunder, the one who destroys utterly. On Diakoptes' behalf and on her own, Tyr was going to wreck this bastard.
I guess I just have one, she said. Will it be worth it?
Oh. Oh, indeed. We will pull down all the artifice of this world and break it. We will show how hollow the Chromeria is. We will kill their very god and see them scuttle for the darkness like cockroaches exposed to the light of our fury. We will destroy the very edifice on which their power rests, and in the end they will know we did it for good.
Tyr pursed her lips and bobbed her head eagerly, took a deep breath, as if this were all she had ever hoped for. They weren't madmen. There was something more dangerous. These were zealots, more dangerous than merely bad men because they would never rest, but also more foolish. Zealots always wanted to explain, to gain converts.
And now, the old man said, a gift for your good service, and a test, I suppose, to see if you are what you appear to be. You're a bitter child, aren't you?
Tyr looked up angrily, smoothed it over quickly, hesitated.
I don't like to be wronged, she said.
He'd talked to Master Sharp. Sharp must have told him how she wanted vengeance on everyone. It was her part now. She couldn't blink, not ever, not if she was going to get in.
Schedules will be juggled to put you in proximity with a new white. You will begin getting close to her immediately. In the meantime, in the next 3 days, tag one person with peril. Whoever's wronged you, I suppose. Or whoever you wish. Only no blackguards, no nobles. That person will be dead within the day. My gift to you.